Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Men don't do what they like. Men get wives and jobs to keep them from what they like.
We have made a gentleman's agreement and sworn on our lives to honor it.
Gentlemen, enjoy your rehabilitation. This is a poor excuse for a life.
What are men good for?
Gentlemen, this is a sign.
I'm Jim Burns. One of the proudest days in a young boy's life is the moment he enters into manhood. And yet, no one seems to be able to agree which moment is the moment when that actually takes place. Well, may I suggest to you that the road to manhood does not simply begin when a boy is born, or on his 16th birthday, or 18th, or 21st birthday for that matter. It has nothing to do with him getting a driver's license or shaving for the first time. A boy becomes a man in the company of other men, especially his dad. And he crosses that threshold when these men tell him he's ready to become a man. Making that journey from boyhood to manhood is one of the burning passions of every young man. And during the next half hour, I'll talk with author and radio host Mark Elfstrand, discovering a man's passion for the life God has called him to live. This is going to be a great discussion for both men and women. And it starts right now on Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. In just a moment, part one of Jim's two-part conversation with author, speaker, Bible study instructor, and radio talk show host Mark Elfstrand. Been working with the Moody Broadcasting Network for a number of years, and we're going to be talking about discovering a man's passion. Hey, if you want to see for yourself what APU's undergraduate experience is like, if you've got kids who are thinking about where to go to college, go to apu.edu/blogs, and you can read what real students have to say about their on-campus experiences at Azusa Pacific University. It's a beautiful part of the country to be in. Southern California never has a bad weather day. You can get more information at apu.edu. Okay, with part one of today's program right now, here is Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Mark Elfstrand is with us. We're talking about discovering a man's passion. Can't think of a better topic for today. Mark, the executive producer and host of the morning program on WMBI in Chicago, this is the man who has the radio voice. This is the thing for guys like me who look up to him in such a big way and has such a great ability to communicate. He also serves on the organizing committee for the Chicago Executive Forum. He is married to Rhonda, been married for over 30 years. They live in Illinois, and they have three married children. Welcome to our program.
Oh, just such a pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity, Jim.
Usually, you're sitting on the other side of the seat doing some of the interviews yourself.
Yeah, it's kind of funny about voices, though, because, you know, most of us don't ever think that our voice is really that good. We just know that this is what we do. Somebody else might think that, but we don't necessarily think
that. Well, in the lobby, when you walked in, I heard you speaking. I went, there's Mark. What a fantastic voice. Men sometimes have a hard time, as you talk about in your brand new book, 10 Passions of a Man's Soul. Men have a hard time making that transition to manhood, don't they?
Well, it is actually a much bigger surprise, I think, than most men would even understand. My acquaintance with this came because a good friend of mine was leading a retreat for a man. I was on staff at a church in Naperville, Illinois, and I invited him to come up and do a men's retreat, and he did the first three sessions. I was there for all three of them. Guys liked him. Everything was going well, but I had to leave for the fourth session. And so the next morning, he and I got together, and I said, well, what did you do last night? And he said, well, Mark, you know, we've been talking about men's issues. In the last session, I asked the men in the room to stand who wanted to be welcomed into the fraternity of men. And I said, well, what did you mean by that? He says, well, there are men in life who just never quite have felt that they belonged in the fraternity of men. They don't think they're men. And I said, well, we're talking guys in the room here that are 30 to 60 years of age. And he said, yeah, I know. And I have done this several times, and each time I make this invitation for guys to stand who want to be embraced into manhood, and the same thing happens. And of course, now I'm just about on the edge of my seat, and I said, well, what happened? He said, about half the men in the room stood. And I was like, I almost fell over. I said, you are kidding me. Yeah. And so this got to be a pretty extensive perspective of mine about that, you know, there is a need that men have that most men aren't even aware of.
Yeah, you know, so many men, and we have a mutual friend in Robert Lewis who has done great things in the men's ministry world, and so many men are wounded, and so many men have a hard time coming into this. But, you know, my friend Randy Phillips, who is the president of Promise Keepers, always says, a man's not a man until his father tells him he is. I think a lot of men really didn't get that blessing from their own dad, and they don't know how to be a man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, my firstborn son had just graduated from college. We were back in Pittsburgh, and the youth director that he for the program that he was involved in is a former NFL player, Tunch Ilkin. Big guy, offensive lineman, and was an all-pro. And so Tunch had kind of watched Marshall for a few years. Now our daughter was graduating. Marshall came back for that graduation ceremony. And Tunch stands up and he says, wow, I can't believe how fast these kids are growing up. He says, I just saw Marshall Elfstrand, and wow, he's a man. That's all he said. After that program was over, Marshall comes up to me and he says, hey, Dad, did you hear? I'm a man. And I, you know, I was kind of disappointed in the sense that I hadn't said this to him ahead of time. But that statement not only impacted him, but a lot of other guys came up to him and said, hey, Marshall, I hear you're a man now. So that affirmation is a very important thing. We take it as subtle. It's not. It is very important.
You know, and Mark, when we talk about becoming a man or this transition, it's so often, you know, in the locker room and other places, it's, you know, you're becoming a man because you got the girl or because you have certain muscles or some of the outside things. But what you're talking about in your new book, 10 Passions of a Man's Soul, is really more of a heart, soul, spiritual journey.
Yeah, God has wired us as men in a certain way. And what I was seeking to do is, as I began to develop this, is to say, well, what are the areas of life? What are 10 major areas of life where you see a man's life played out? It's not that women don't think about these issues. It's that men think about them more, and we get very concerned about them, and we tend to get out of balance in these areas, and that's what hurts us as men, and sometimes it keeps us from actually feeling like men.
You know, it's funny. I'm thinking about a group I'm in. There are four others that's, and five of us who meet every Tuesday morning. We pray together and we talk life. And a couple times we've gone fishing. And these are guys who are older than me, incredibly God-honoring and leaders of leaders. And we just cut up and we have the best time. But it's interesting because if we were with our wives, we wouldn't be having the same kind of experiences. We wouldn't even be having some of the same talking. But in some ways, we are looking at each other saying, you know, this is what a man does, and this is, and we can talk through such important things. I think a lot of men, at least my experience, they don't have other men who they can really talk to about soul passion thing.
You had mentioned at the onset about a project that I'm involved in called the Chicago Executive Forum, yeah. And really, what we seek to do is to take senior level executives and get them interested in exactly that. Do you have a few close, trusted friends that you can meet with? Yeah. In the section that I do here in relationships, I talk about the word intimacy. Men tend to get a little confused by that word. We think, hey, what do you mean by that word intimacy? Well, it's just very simple, to know and to be known.
Right.
And most of us, almost every man that I've ever met, has a desire to be known. And you see that because some men, in conversation, never let you get in a word edgewise. They just want to always talk about themselves. Yeah. So they have a desire to be known. The question is, do they have a desire to know others?
Right.
And if they don't, then that kind of hinders relationship from developing.
Yeah, and you know, I think sometimes they're scared to do that. Passions of his soul. Why is that so important for a man to discover that?
Yeah, well, of course, if it was just passions of his head, it could be kind of a fleeting amount of knowledge.
Sure.
But the soul actually represents the deepest part of our human existence. This is the part that's going to go on in after this life is over. God has put something special into us, that uniqueness that makes us a man, and we're hardwired by God with these certain aspects. Well, that we better get the hardwiring straight or the hard disk right before we start playing with any software out there, because that's what drives us.
Yeah, and I think there's probably a lot of wives who are listening who are saying, I wish my husband was listening to this, or I wish my husband was dealing with this, because a lot of times I think they feel like a man isn't as spiritual, or they don't want this because we tend to hide behind our job, or we hide behind sports or TV or the newspaper or whatever. But what you're saying is, no, they have a desire. They have a desire for purpose. They have a desire for relationships, adventure.
Right. And some of these things, for some men, they'll go, that's exactly where I am. Some of the other passions they might look at and say, you know, that one I'm not as in tune with, but there are some here that I really need to work on. That is the objective. Actually, I have two fundamental objectives. One is to say, if you relate to these 10, You belong in the fraternity of men. Maybe you're not willing to go and stand up in front of a group and say, you know what, I've never been affirmed, but I want to know I belong in the fraternity of men. I want to help you do that, number one. Number two, in each of these 10 areas, it's so easy for a man to be out of balance. And I mean, I'm on those the continuums sure. of every one of these. Sure. I put continuums in each chapter, and I'm on that continuum somewhere too. And I want to be a man for Christ that's in balance in these areas.
And that, I think, is the desire for so many of our listeners as well. Listen, we're going to take a break. We're going to come right back, and we'll get into these 10 passions of a man's soul. We'll start with the passion of purpose. It is something that every man wants, and sometimes it gets a little confusing. Mark Elfstrand is with us today. We're talking about discovering a man's passion. And women, you who are listening today, you can help your man by giving him this kind of information as well. Has some great insights from some well-known communicators to men and actually to women. Gary Chapman, John Eldridge, Bill McCartney, Erwin McManus, Dave Ramsey, and many more. A great little book that I think could help a lot of people. We'll be right back. We'll start on the 10 passions of a man's soul.
Jim, that's a good point with all the different contributors to this resource written by Mark Elfstrand here on the Homeward Broadcast. We're talking about 10 passions of a man's soul, and discovering a man's passion is our theme. If you are looking for a resource to use, maybe this summer you want to get a Bible study going at your church with some of the guys in your group, or I know our church has a Promise Keepers group that meets every Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, come hell or high water, those guys are there, and it's very encouraging to see the resources they go through. That's why we recommend this book. And if you want to learn more about it, go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast section on today's program date. You will see Mark Elfstrand's name is hotkeyed, as they say. You can click on Mark's name and it'll take you right to his website, more information about the book, etc., etc. And we can make all these resource information pushes available because of your prayers and faithful financial support of the ministry. You can give a gift online while you're with us as well. Our website is absolutely secure when you give a gift at homeward.com. For more information, you can also call us at 800-397-9725. All right, let's get back into it now. Part two and the conclusion of today's conversation here on the Homeward Broadcast. Here once again, Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Mark Elfstrand is with us. We're talking about discovering a man's passion. You may hear him on WMBI, which is the flagship station for Moody Broadcasting Network. It's a great organization, a great broadcasting network. Moody is just a great place. Something with the Moody name is kind of a good housekeeping seal of approval. He's the executive producer and the host of the morning program. Today we are in Denver having this conversation in our studio here in Denver, kind of a makeshift studio. Mark has already been on the air, got up at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, today. Is it nighttime yet? That's what I want to know. So.
Well, when you're in a studio like this, you really can't right. tell. You know, we're talking about this new book of yours called 10 Passions of a Man's Soul. Our topic today is discovering a man's passion. Right. And you have these 10 passions, and as I was reading through it, really one of the ones that hit me the most was the first passion. You identified 10, but this first one is a passion of purpose, and that involves, you know, ambition and duty and calling and a cause, and I want you to comment on this incredible passion that men have to have purpose in their life.
Well, I can tell you that it's been several years ago now, I had been doing some seminars back in the Pittsburgh area. I did talk radio out there for mm-hmm. several years. And in one of those seminars, I would start out this way. I would say, let me ask you, what do you think the most noble job in this world is? Most noble occupation. Wait a second. Let me ask you this. How about a noble person? And I would kind of use that as the setup. And so then, you know, people would raise their hands and they would suggest people. Well, you could probably guess this, Jim, but a name that surfaced more frequently than almost any other was Mother Teresa. Mm-hmm. And I said, now, why do you say that? So they would tell me, oh, because she cared so much about the poor and she, you know, wanted to reach out. She gave her life for this. And I said, really? I said, well, you know, I'd like to tell you a story, you know, about when I went to Calcutta one time and actually was near Mother Teresa, and I heard her talking to a young nun, and then I heard her say that the real reason that she did what she did wasn't because she cared about the poor, but because she wanted to be well known, and that she just wanted to be famous and wanted to be a saint, and the only way that would ever happen is if, you know, she did something dramatic, and that's why she'd invested her life in this. Well, as I told that story, what was happening then is happening here with you.
Right now.
People start laughing, and they go, oh, come on, right? And I go, what? What's the matter? Well, I knew what was the matter. I knew that it would cheapen the very nature of what Mother Teresa was all about if they felt what? That her motives were not behind what she did. If they were not right, if they were not authentic, it would change the entire character of what her life was about. So I try to make the point, sometimes successfully, sometimes not, that no matter what kind of work you do, if it is of noble purpose, the kind of work you're doing, and I'm not talking about running a casino, I'm talking about a legitimate kind of work. If you are doing that with a heart for God and you're doing it to serve God, your work is as noble as Mother Teresa's. And some people had a real hard time grasping this, but I believe it's absolutely true. A man who lives with purpose begins to realize that his life is of great consequence, and it doesn't matter the kinds of work he does, it matters much more about the motive. What is it about helping the poor? How about running a country, for goodness sakes? No, they said that Mother Teresa's work was important. Why? Because they felt that her heart was such a giving heart.
That is so important. It's not just important in terms of our work, but it's also important in terms of an even more important vocation, which would be raising children.
Right.
As a dad.
Right.
As a mom.
Yeah.
You tell a story in your book about the founder of Quaker Oats and how his purpose was so important, and yet, it was a different way of looking at it than some. Talk about this.
Well, I hope that there are men listening to your broadcast today. Because this is a story that I have told in front of a number of people, and mostly men's groups, and I never fail to get a response of silence as I weave this story. It takes a fair amount of time, so I'm not going to tell you the whole complete story, but I'll just give a couple of highlights. I work in a building called Kroll Hall on the Moody campus. I never heard of Henry Kroll. I didn't know who the guy was. They have a plaque in Kroll Hall, dedicated to him. And then I found out that there is a book about his life, and it's called The Cereal Tycoon. He was the founder of Quaker Oats.
Quaker Oats.
And his father died when Henry was a relatively young man, and his father died of tuberculosis. When Henry was about 16 or 17, they diagnosed him with tuberculosis. About that same time, while living in Cleveland, he heard about a famous guy coming to town to preach. His name was D.L. Moody. And Moody got up that night and gave one of his typical, animated sermons. And he used this phrase, which is quite well known, connected to D.L. Moody. He attributed it to another friend that he had met in Ireland, Henry Varley, who said this: "The world has yet to see what God can do to and through and for and with a man who is wholly and fully dedicated to him." And then D.L. would get excited and say, "Did you hear what I said?" And he would scream out. He didn't say, "I didn't say a rich man. I didn't say an educated man. I didn't say a well-connected man. I said a man who is willing to be like that." Well, that was so impacted Henry Kroll's life that he got out of the church and walked down to the lake, sat down and said, "God, I want to be a man like that. I am willing to be a man like that. I can't preach like Moody, but if I could make money, I would support men like Moody." Well, over the next 20 years, he had a very interesting life story. Again, I'd recommend reading it in The Cereal Tycoon. But bottom line, he got through a relative of his, got introduced to the Quaker Company. He bought it, moved it to Chicago. And when he was in his 50s, right early 50s, he had never saw D.L. Moody again. But he was going to church, met a guy from the Institute who said, "D.L. died a couple of years ago, and we're really struggling at the Institute." And for the next 40 years of his life, Henry Kroll came and dedicated one day a week to the Moody Bible Institute. But what he really believed was that his life ought to have three purposes in terms of three resources that he would use in terms of stewardship. And one of those would be obvious, because he was a very wealthy man. The second one for him was the recognition that he had time, and time was a very important thing. But the third one was social capital. And what he did in the city of Chicago was to become a great man of influence. Well, every man has those same three things. You may not have a lot of money, but you have some. You may not have a great amount of time, but you have some. And no doubt, regardless of the kind of work you do, you have some social capital, meaning you can influence people. It might be kids. You never know where God's going to use you. But if you see that as your stewardship, you can really begin to apply yourself to be a man of purpose.
And what makes sense when they do have that kind of purpose and they go for it, and again, they're not going to be perfect. I'm sure that Henry Kroll was not perfect, but in the sense that they're doing something meaningful, it brings meaning not only to their life, but it brings meaning to their family's life, and the legacy of faith, continues. Today, you're walking in a hall where you didn't even know the name of this guy,
right?
And yet there are students who are being influenced who just walk right on by, but
right.
Yet God used his purpose. It's phenomenal. The second passion of a man's soul is the passion for adventure. And more I'm seeing more on this, especially in the men's movement, people talking about the need for adventure, to take some risk. You see this with John Eldridge's work. Others are talking about it. Mm-hmm. Help us understand this passion for adventure. It seems to be such a big deal with men these days.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can kind of go back to your own childhood, and you can see where really that gets underway. I mean, when I was a kid, I just wanted to explore. I didn't have much fear back then about going off and exploring places that, you know, my parents wouldn't even know necessarily where I was. But I remember one night I was sleeping out in a tent in my backyard, and for some reason I was, a friend of mine, we were, 11 or 12 years old, and we decided, we were such baseball fans, let's ride our bikes out to Metropolitan Stadium where the Twins played. We got up in the middle of the night and rode our bikes out there. I mean, I don't know what my parents would have done had they known, you know, what I was about at that moment.
Right.
And we went out there and we climbed up this fence, and I could literally smell the grass in center field. And I thought, man, I would just love to get out of that baseball field, and I would just love to run around and just play catch. And I mean, it was just a dream. But to me, that was just one of my childhood adventures that I decided to embark on.
Did you ever smell the grass at Twin Stadium?
Well, you know, the great thing about adventure is that you have to kind of know, like Clint Eastwood said, your limitations. And I was a little afraid that once I got over that fence, if I was caught out in that field in the middle of the night, could I get back over that fence? And then I'd be really in trouble. So I smelled it from the outside of the fence, but I never climbed onto it. But boy, I wanted to.
Yeah, what a story. Men, now let's take this to the man. And as we kind of conclude our program, and then again, I'll ask you to come back. But men need adventure to discover passion. How does that translate a man's life?
Yeah, I talked to John Eldridge about this, and one of the things that he has capably done is to make sure that men understand this is not living on the wild and crazy side. In fact, in my book, I have continuums, and on the adventure continuum, at one extreme, I put the thrill seeker, but at the other one, the ultra conservative. What happens over the course of life is man begins to feel some experience some defeats, and he begins to get more cautious, and that caution for a lot of guys, unfortunately, moves him into an area where he just won't adventure out at all, and he kind of gets in a rut, and that's where he lives. That would not be how you would expect that God would design a man to live. In fact, all the movies that guys seem to like have to be books or movies about adventure. Right. We read books about adventure. Why? Because we like to live at closer to that end, and unfortunately, we find that through vicarious experiences. Instead, what the man wants to do, the man of God, is you want to be able to set out some objectives and say, how can I move closer to this idea of, wow, I want to have adventure back in my life so I can tell stories and share them with other men and share them with my son. That's the kind of thing we enjoy talking to guys about.
Absolutely. And that's the kind of thing guys need, guys want, and their passion can, with some adventure, can mix with their relationship with God. I saw in your book, it's a quote by Yogi Berra, the great theologian of the New York Yankees. When you come to the fork in the road, take it.
Yeah, right. Well, and Yogi knows a bit about adventure. And, you know, I'm a great baseball player and, of course, a catcher for the Yankees and a manager for many years. And he knows the dynamic of tension and, you know, guys who want to pursue their great things in life. So, he is a theologian as well, but in an odd way.
Absolutely. Mark, thank you for being with us. You have to come back next time.
I look forward to it.
And that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Mark Elfstrand here on the Homeward Broadcast. Discovering a man's passion has been our theme, and we think about these passions that guys go after sometimes, and sometimes they're healthy and sometimes they're not so healthy. We encourage you to start your day with a healthy passion, and that would be a daily dose of encouragement, a Bible verse and some encouragement from God's Word, courtesy of Dr. Jim Burns and the staff here at Homeward. If you're a guy especially who's looking for a devotional that you can use every single day, we encourage you to sign up for our free daily online devotional. We call it our Evotional, and it comes out every Monday through Friday. And if you'd like more information on how to get yours going, how to get that free subscription going, simply go to homeward.com, HOMEWORD.com, and just follow the prompts, and you can start receiving our free daily online devotional. Join the tens of thousands of people who are part of this community, if you will, this congregation, who receive our daily online devotional every day. And while you're online with us, be sure you also browse a little while. Enjoy some of the resources available to you at homeward.com.
Well, thanks, Roger. And, you know, Mark is a real radio host.
Yes,
I learned a lot by just being with him. Great job. He does a great job on WMBI, the flagship station of the Moody broadcast team. They're in Chicago.
That's
right.
He
just does a great job. Every man has a passion
for purpose and adventure in his life, and he has a passion for power and for winning also. And those are just a few of a man's passions that Mark and I have been talking about on today's edition of Homeward. And I hope you'll be with us again next time when we continue this discussion. You know, Homeward is on the air and online and in your community to encourage and equip parents to strengthen the relationships that matter most in your home. And we're here for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year online at homeward.com. And we provide literally hundreds of resources for you there, and many of them without cost. So before the day is through, let me encourage you to go online, go to our online resource center, and take a look. Check us out. And thanks for your prayers. And thank you also for your ongoing financial support as well. It keeps Homeward on the air, and it keeps us doing all the other great stuff that we're doing. Now, until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks again for listening to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.